welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Lindsay Hughley, and joining me today is Compliance Alliance's own Jefferson Sorley. Jefferson serves as Compliance Alliance's Director of Reviews and Products. He has over a decade of expertise in financial institution compliance. Jefferson began his compliance career with a statewide community bank in Kentucky. His experience includes work as an auditor consultant for a top 10 accounting firm and a regional accounting firm conducting compliance reviews for bank clients of various sizes throughout the U.S. Prior to joining Compliance Alliance, Jefferson served as the first compliance officer for a multi-state mortgage broker startup, where he designed and executed the firm's compliance program, including the creation of policies, procedures, and training. His competencies include state regulatory exam management, compliance program management, research and application of applicable federal and state laws and statutes, evaluating internal controls, and developing control recommendations. Jefferson earned his Juris Master's from Florida State University College of Law, and he holds a Certified Regulatory Compliance Manager designation conferred by the American Bankers Association. Welcome, Jefferson. I am really looking forward to our chat today. But first, at Banking Matters, we always like to hear how our guests got their start in the financial institution industry.
Well, thanks for inviting me to the podcast. I started after I left the Navy. I spent 4 years in the Navy and earned, I used the GI Bill and earned my business degree, and then ended up working at a local bank. I reside in Kentucky and got my start, like a lot of people, teller line, and then got into deposit operations. And then one thing led to another. And our compliance officer saw me give a presentation in front of the bank and asked me to join her team. And I've been in compliance ever since then, 10 plus years.
So we like to call those happy accidents. I feel like there's several of our guests that have landed in compliance in exactly the same way.
Well, I'm lucky. She was my first compliance officer. And to this day, she's my mentor, and I consider her a friend. Her and her husband, she's retired now. They invite me down to Florida to their condo to visit them, and I take advantage of that at least once a year. So she set me up well to have a good career.
That's awesome. And I do know that, like, having those people in place, I know that I wouldn't be where I was without someone kind of taking me under the wing and under their wing in the exact same way. So yes, always thankful for people that are out there looking to help bring up people in their career, for sure.
Well, compliance is tough. I mean, especially bank compliance, especially when you think about a lot of the member banks that we have that Compliance Alliance serves. A lot of people are in small banks where either they're the only compliance professional or they're wearing multiple hats. So it definitely helps to have someone that's looking out for you and helping you get going and helping, especially career-wise, set up your career.
Absolutely. So today, I would really like to dig into a few of your main job roles here at Compliance Alliance so that we can kind of have a better understanding of the processes that you're responsible for. So I was thinking maybe we could start with the review process.
That sounds good. So my title, my fancy title, is Director of Reviews and Products. And basically that breaks down to just overseeing the review side of the house and the tools or products side of the house. So the bread and butter of what I oversee is what we consider document reviews. And we have three general categories of document reviews. We have disclosures, policies and procedures, and advertising. And so when our member banks contact us, they typically email or they submit a form via our CA website and they request a document review. And then using our request management software, our admin filters those requests and sends them or assigns them to certain people on our review staff. And then the reviewers look at those documents, provide an observation, and then email a response that includes the observations about the document. Our observations typically include requirements, best practices, and suggestions. And that's on the review side. On the product side, it's a little bit different. We've been going through some growing pains, so some current members may have some different thoughts about this, but on the product side, typically a member can request a new product. Maybe, you know, we have 500 plus different guides, checklists, policies and procedures, examples, you name it, on our CA website. So they may see, oh, well, you don't have this other thing that I think would be really helpful. They can request that we build something from scratch for them. The majority of the time spent on the product side is maintaining the current ones. So just making sure they're updated with the new regulations, or making minor updates based on recommendations or things we're seeing on the review side, or input from staff, CA staff.
And so with the, if someone is to send in a policy, what are you strictly looking for compliance concerns? Are you looking for certain specific pieces of those policies when they come in? What are you, how does that process work as you actually review the actual policy?
Well, if you're talking policies, it's more art than science. So, you know, it's easier to look at an advertisement and say, well, Truth in Lending says this, or Truth in Saving says that. With policies, I mean, it's kind of up to who looks at the policy. I mean, you know, I've been to conferences, I've had phone calls, I've been on emails, I've had interaction with other compliance professionals, and the policies are up to who looks at them. I mean, all of us that have been in compliance long enough can tell stories of, well, this examiner says this, but our auditor says this. And then if you have a third party consultant, like what we do, we might have a different opinion. So my personal approach to a policy is there are very few people that actually look at the policies. It's typically the compliance professional, the auditor or examiner, and then any other third party like us that will look at it. Your customers aren't looking at policies. Your line staff aren't looking at policies. So to me, it's one of the least, it's important to have policies to set the tone, but it's one of the least operational documents because it doesn't actually instruct you on anything particular. Those are left up to your procedures. Those are left up to your actual staff. So looking at policies, getting back to your original question, there are some key concepts that should be in policies, like who's in charge of the policy. Typically, that's a board of directors. What's the rule? I mean, is there a governing rule over the policy? So you'd want to address that. You'd want to address any type of periodic monitoring. So are you doing yearly testing? Are you having an external auditor look at your policy and make sure that you're complying with whatever the rule is? You definitely want to address training. It doesn't help to have a policy if nobody knows about it, right? So you need to let people know. And then finally, record retention. Sometimes it's overlooked. I mean, who cares? We just hang on to it forever. But if you are going to have a record retention policy that complies with the rules and you want to keep the bank out of trouble, then you definitely want to note what your record retention policy is.
Absolutely. And so typically with products, so when you're talking about those, that's what compliance lines, what we have on our website that are available to our members. And so, as you said, it's really a process of making sure that those stay up to date. On a scale of 1 to 10, how challenging is that?
So, what's number one and what's number 10? So,
So I would say 10 would be super duper hard and one would be super easy.
this may be a surprising answer. It's a one for me because our product expert, Stephen Ross, is amazing. Like, I'm not sure I could do my job and feel good about it if I didn't have Stephen. He is incredible. He has a wealth of knowledge and experience, and his bio is on our website. But he contributes so much. He's kind of on an island. I mean, we give him free rein, and he does great. And even when he can be a little bit frustrated and say, "Gosh, I don't even know where to start with this policy," I mean, you just give him a little bit of a breadcrumb, and he just turns it into something amazing. So, I'll give an example. So recently we've had bank members asking about AI policies because everybody's got artificial intelligence on the front of their brain. Well, we didn't have one. And, if the members ask, we need to produce it. So, well, where do you start with that? There really aren't any rules yet for an AI policy. And a lot of us know the government, the federal government especially, is typically reactive, and Dodd-Frank's an example of that. So something's going to probably have to break before we have AI rules. So because there's no actual rules, we had to look up some different examples of policies that members have created for themselves. There is a little bit of guidance out there that you can get to kind of tape something together and make something out of it. But anyway, using those different resources that we have and putting our brains together, giving that to Steven, he just produced an awesome AI policy that's going to be available really soon. So getting back to your original question, products, tools, policies, the things that we create in-house, it's super easy because I have Steven. So everybody, here's a recommendation. Get a Steven. It'll be easy.
But you can't have ours. I will say he
No.
is amazing. His brain, I've worked with him on a few specific items, and his brain is awesome. And he's so talented at what he does,
Right. Agreed.
for sure. So, with do we? So, as far as the advertisement review goes, is that the submitting those? That's the same process as a policy or disclosure?
Right.
Yes.
So submitting documents, it's kind of a general umbrella. So that encompasses any kind of document you can think of. Not my favorite, but we do have third-party documents that come in as far as, well, we have this agreement and we want to make sure that this is fair to us and fair to the third party that we're engaging with. And so we can't really provide a legal opinion, but we can look for compliance concerns and those types of documents. But our bread and butter is definitely the marketing disclosures, like your TISA disclosures, account opening disclosures, those types of things. And then, of course, policies.
Yes, and I will say, as a VCO, we get to use y'all's expertise very often, and you guys do a really great job of giving recommendations along with the citations. Like, not just saying, oh, you're missing this, but it's more of a thorough answer, kind of very much so more helpful because you know exactly why you guys have picked it. Is there anything that you're hoping to in the near future or even the far future, if there were some things that you could tweak to make it better, what do you see your department and your area looking like?
Well, I've been with CA since April and we've gone through growing pains. And one of the things that we're trying to implement is being able to manage the volume and be able to still provide valuable feedback to members. I mean, it would be easy to just kind of give a cursory glance and kick things back to members, but that's not really our philosophy here. And fortunately, my manager, Victoria Steven, doesn't want us to do that. She wants the responses to be generally consistent, of course, but then provide value to our members. So that's the biggest focus, is just providing value. So we do have a high volume And so looking forward, we definitely want to be able to manage that volume a little better than what we are. But at the end of the day, I think, you know, I can't speak for all members, but in my personal opinion, I'm satisfied with the responses that we're providing overall versus just cranking out the volume and just getting it done to get it done.
I agree. And I honestly, I can tell, like I said, we get to use you guys, our member banks do, and the ones that we get to help. And it's so beneficial because like you said, there are so many of our members, they are one person compliance program leaders. And that is it. They're the expert matter person in their organization. And that is it. And so what kind of satisfaction do you get knowing that you are able to play such a big role in so many community banks?
Well, I'll be honest. I don't know how much of a role that I play. I hope it's beneficial. I hope it helps. But, you know, we have so many member banks, and I know on the hotline side, I'm going to give them their flowers. They get the kudos and the big thanks and the smiley face emojis through their live chat. We don't really get that. It's, hey, can you look at this? And then we respond, hey, here's what we found. Occasionally we get a thank you and whatnot. And sometimes we have members tell us that they appreciate it. But overall, I just have the satisfaction of the least amount of confusion, the better. So if our members are confused or need a follow-up on a response, I don't like that. And we're not perfect. We're not robots, but I'm satisfied if I feel like we as a team are providing value to members. So hopefully we are providing value.
Well, I can say before I came on with Compliance Alliance a few years ago, I was with a Compliance Alliance member. The review department saved our life. It was me and my supervisor. We were tackling and revamping the entire all policies, all procedures, everything was getting touched. There was no way the two of us would have been able to have managed that or handled that without working with Compliance Alliance. And so what's kind of cool is being able to come on with Compliance Alliance, and now I get to see everything kind of from the inside. And so I'll say from my own point, you guys really do make a huge difference by lifting that load on banks, especially when they're in a season of transition or they have their own growing pains. Those services that your department provides, they're huge for sure.
Well, one thing I do like about this role, so in a past life, I did compliance consulting and would visit different banks around the country, and mostly your smaller community-sized banks. And they would ask us, well, hey, how do we correct for this or that you've found as a deficiency, or how do we improve? We didn't really have something that we could point to and say, oh, well, here's a policy, here's a checklist, here's a this, here's a that. We were more of almost like an audit function where it's like, well, we can tell you what you're doing well and what you're not doing well, and we can make suggestions, but we can't give you something that you can take and use. So the advantage of being in this role is that I can actually do a little bit of both. I can say, well, hey, here's where other banks that we've communicated with, things that they do, maybe you can incorporate that into your document, or maybe we can improve the products that are available to our members. So, so getting back to the job satisfaction, I definitely am satisfied with being able to do that for banks.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Jefferson, as we wrap up today, what is one piece of advice that you would like to leave our listeners with?
Let's see. Besides get a Steven, I would say, I think, and I'm guilty of this because, you know, I got my start in a compliance department. We feel like, well, I should speak for myself. I always felt like the sky is falling. I kind of felt like a Chicken Little, like, you as a compliance professional often feel like you're looking under the rock and you see all of the imperfections of the operations that touch compliance. But at the end of the day, my strongest recommendation is you have a life outside of work. You know, things are never going to be perfect. Don't take compliance so personally. And good compliance officers care enough that they do that, but try not to, because at the end of the day, it is only just compliance. You're only one person, you're only one department. You can't do it all, and management gets to dictate the way they operate the bank.
Yes, I love that, because I do. Like, I know so many people, they take it personally. Exams and audits are like test scores for them.
Right.
When in actuality, I try to look at them as confirmation of what is working and what isn't working. And so they are almost like green lights and maybe detours. So because always everybody wants to get to that same end goal, but you're right, this can't consume us for sure. And so I love that. And so thank you, Jefferson, for your time today and talking with us. And for the rest of our listeners, that's Banking Matters.